One of the things that's really delightful about being a pastor, and you don't have to be a pastor to do this, but one of the things that's really delightful about being a pastor is visiting in homes. And I've done that for, well, I did it when I was a boy with my dad, and I've done it for 30 years as a pastor. I've visited many, many homes in these 30 years. I've visited humble homes, very humble little homes, very, very modest. And I visited homes that are palatial with marble stairs and teardrop swimming pools and home theaters with leather seats. Honest, I have. I visited, as an independent Baptist pastor, you don't get into many homes like that, but they are out there. We're just mostly regular folk, aren't we? I visited godly homes and ungodly homes. I visited homes where people drew the breath that God gave them to curse His name. And I visited homes where the name of Jesus was the sweetest name that was ever uttered in that home. I visited homes where Jesus was sincerely and reverently worshipped and where Jesus was ignored. I visited loud homes where people didn't even bother to turn off the television when I came to visit. And I never can forget, I wish I could, a visit one afternoon to a woman who had visited our church. And when I came into her home, she said, "Oh, Pastor, I'm so glad you're here. Sit here." And she seated me in front of a huge television set and didn't turn it off. And it was in the afternoon when the soap operas were on. And then she went off to the side, and the lewdest, most despicable thing came on. And I was so embarrassed that I don't get embarrassed very often, but my face turned beet red. And I was waiting for her to go turn the television off and wondering if I should turn the television off and trying not to look and stuff. It was not good. Yeah. I'd like to have seen you there. I've been in quiet, peaceful, well-ordered Christian homes that were like an expression of heaven on earth. I visited homes where there was great sorrow that stained the atmosphere. Even though I'm a committed Baptist and well-behaved, I've even on occasion been to a home where there was such celebration it broke out into dancing. Folk dancing, but dancing. Full costume Mexican dancing. It's pretty cool. And the food was good, too, by the way. Very good. A full catered fiesta one place with lights hanging in the trees and live music. I've been in places where the fare was very sparse, and I've been in places where there was incredible bounty and prosperity. I've eaten in homes where people featured their favorite family dishes and small talk, and I've been ate in a home once where a cat walked across the table and ate out of a dish and nobody said anything. It's like it happened all the time. Yeah. I think it was tuna casserole. Cat just like, well, it's tuna casserole. So I visited a lot of different homes. I remember in Indiana one summer, we went to this conference, this church conference with a family. And you know how if they have a church conference, the people with a lot of money, they stay at the hotel. And if you have a lot of money, the hotel has a pool. But if you're like our family of modest means, or like Spurgeon called slender apparatus, that's what they used to call that, then you stayed with people in the church who opened their homes to you, which was in a way kind of neater anyway. And I remember one summer we went to this conference, and the first night of the conference there was some discussion about what it was going to be like where we stayed that night. And my mom and dad were giving us the requisite talk. You know, my parents would say things like this, and I have forgiven them for this, but they would say things like this. Can you imagine a person telling me, "Kenny, children are to be seen and not heard." Wait, what are you laughing about? Yeah, children are to be seen and not heard. And they were dreaming. Or they would say, "Kenny, speak when you're spoken to." They would tell me that. It was worthless. It was a waste of breath, but they would tell me stuff like that. "Speak when you're spoken to." And we're on the way, and they're like, you know, "Don't ask for seconds until they ask you if you want more. Even if you want more, don't say that, you know, and don't put your elbows on the table, and watch your mother if you're not sure which fork to use." and don't belch in public. And even if it would be impressive, don't do that. And don't talk about belching in a pulpit. My folks would be very disappointed that even escaped my lips. It's not in my very careful manuscript here. So we went over, and they were like talking. They were saying, you know, these people are opening their homes to us, and you know. So it was summer night. It was a beautiful summer night, and night was falling, and there was heat lightning in the sky. And when we got there, in the providence of God, in the sweet providence of God, it was a farm. It was a farm. It was a beautiful farm, humble but beautiful Indiana farm. And the people, well, come on in. We have a little treat for you before you go to bed. We have ice cold Cokes. They had Cokes in those little glass bottles. You haven't even tasted Coke right unless you drank it out of a glass bottle. And they had the little ones. What are they, like 6.5 ounces, the little ones? And they had them all really, really soup, just cold, perfect cold. And they said, we have one for each of you. And my dad, he says, oh, no, that's okay. We'll share. I'm like, Dad, it's 6 ounces, you know. Yeah, just let's let them break it out here tonight, you know. And then the people, no, we have one for each. Remember, we have one for each of you. And we sat on the porch and we watched the heat lightning and the fireflies with our feet dangling. They let us sit in the porch swing with ice cold Coke in our hands. It was a beautiful home, sweet home. And I listened while my parents talked with these dear Christian people about the things of the Lord and what the pastor talked about. It was a wonderful visit, a little slice of heaven on earth. I remember visiting a farm home one time. It was a dairy farmer, and he happened to be an Amish dairy farmer. He was a devout evangelical Christian Amish dairy farmer named Yoder, of course, and Bobby Yoder. And what dear friends they became to us. And the thing I noticed when we visited their home, we would go over to their home. When I came over to their home, I felt like the president. Maybe not quite, but close. You know, I'd come in, and everybody would sort of gather around. The children were taught to show this honor to a guest. And they would gather around. They wouldn't talk amongst themselves. They didn't have electronic, you know, they weren't like listening to their iPods because they were Amish. They didn't have iPods. And they didn't have television. They did have like a cordless telephone, which I thought was kind of humorously incongruous one time. We had some visitors over there, and they go, hey, it's the phone for you. And they were like, phone? Because we were at an Amish house, see? Anyway, they had such a nice home, such a wonderful family, and the children would listen, you know, so carefully, and they were undistracted. It was a delightful experience to enjoy many hours with them in that home. And my dad, he always taught me to, when I would complete a pastoral visit, he always taught me to pray. He would say, crown the evening with the blessing before you leave. And ask for the blessing of the Lord on that home. That'll mean a lot to people. And I do consider it a wonderful privilege sometimes to just say, oh God, fall on this home with your blessing and your favor. Jesus visited homes too. Did you know that? Well, I'll often think about that, but I have a little short list of homes Jesus visited. Home of Simon the leper. Jesus visited the home of Simon Peter and Andrew. He visited Matthew Levi's house. He visited many times. He loved to visit the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Remember, that was the place where Mary was sitting at his feet, if you can imagine that. And Martha was busy preparing things for him. Simon the Pharisee's house. He went there that night, and that's where he got his feet washed by the sinful woman. It was a tender, beautiful night. He, of course, went to Zacchaeus' house, didn't he? Kind of took care of a little business there. And in the spiritual way, he visited the home of the Philippian jailer, didn't he? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thy house. I have a little plaque somebody gave me once, and whenever I read it, it brings conviction to my soul. It says something like this. Christ is the head of this house. He is the unseen guest at every meal. He is the silent listener to every conversation. Christ is the head of this house. He is the unseen guest at every meal. He's a silent listener to every conversation. Hey, you want Jesus to come to your house. You want Jesus to come to your house. You want Jesus to feel at home in your house. Am I right? Because when Jesus comes to a house, think of the houses he visited. He visited a house when there was sickness and went away and there was health. He went and visited a house, houses with sorrow and sadness, and left them with the flower of joy blossoming in their heart. He visited homes where there had been sin, and he brought restoration and restitution and forgiveness and set things right. And you sometimes have sickness in your home, and you sometimes have sorrow and sadness in your home, and you certainly have sin in your home, and sometimes you're lonely and you just need company. You need Jesus to be at home at your house. And tonight, I would like to share with you 11 ways to make Jesus at home in your house. All right? 11 ways. How do you make Jesus at home in your house? Number one, these are some ideas from the Scripture, various passages. Number one, have tender times of worship in your homes. Have tender times of worship in your homes. We haven't read our church's covenant since I've been here. We should do that more often than we do. One of the things our church's covenant, a beautiful document, an historic document, a document that churches like ours have had almost boilerplate, you know, all over the nation. It's a beautiful church covenant. It's just, it's lyrical, it's poetic how it's written. One of the things it says is that we will not neglect family devotions. That we will have times, not just in church, that we say Jesus is our God, but in your own way and on your own timing and on your own schedule, you have times where you acknowledge Jesus in your home. And if you remember this church, you promised to do that. That's a good thing to bind yourself to. Tender times of worship. I like to think about that passage in Luke 7. I referred to it earlier, Luke 7:44. Remember, the woman washed Jesus' feet with her hair and wiped her tears on his feet and perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. And then the Pharisee corrected Jesus. But then Jesus said this. He turned to the woman. He says to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head." That's not all she said. Take your Bibles and look there in John 7:44. I want you to see all of that, and I don't happen to have that in my notes. But I want you to notice how Jesus almost gives Simon, like, this is what you should have done when I came to your home. 7:44. Oh, I'm sorry, it's Luke. Did I say? Yeah. Luke 7:44. He turned to the woman. He says to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And you gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. And you didn't anoint my head with oil. This woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil." Is there an intimacy between you and Jesus? Is there any expression of that intimacy in your home towards Jesus? You certainly don't go week to week without expressing tender, intimate thoughts about Jesus in your home. Worship Jesus. Have tender times of worship in your home. And some quick tips, you know, tonight, just from a dad that's aging here. Make sure that you keep them direct. You know, don't feel like you have to give your children a seminary education in an evening, because that will probably sour them a bit. You know, keep it simple and short, and keep the simple elements in there. I hesitate to say too much, because sometimes I think we hurt people when we give them some kind of formula and then they try to follow it and they broke down with guilt. And I would just say, name the name of Jesus in your home. Open the Bible. Open God's precious word, the Bible, in your home. Read a bit. Dad, read a bit of the Bible. Let your children see how you love the Bible, God's word. Even if you're a halting reader, just open the Bible and let your children see you reading the Bible. Let them see your adoration and your love and your devotion to Jesus and to his word. So open the Bible and read just a bit, even from the Bible, from a psalm. Just read. Let them see you reading the Bible. And then talk to the Lord. Pray. And maybe sing a song. That's probably harder for many of us. But make sure that your home is filled with music that is an expression of worship to God. Let your children see you worshiping God. Worship together as a family in a simple way. Don't think you have to be a pastor or a preacher or a wonderful teacher. Just stop and in your own simple, humble way say, this is a Christian home. This is a Christian home. Sometimes, let me tell you what I do, is I'm often overwhelmed with my own failures. I'm often overwhelmed with my own flesh and my own sin. I'm often overwhelmed by, like one sister, I think Elaine, you said, when I see kind of my faults, Elaine, servicing in my kids, then I'm humbled before God. And I think we need to rally the troops here and just have a word of prayer and ask God to mercifully deliver my kids from the things they have seen in me. You know, that's maybe what you want to do. That's a little reminder. You know, when things get a little ugly, say, maybe you better just, Dad, maybe you better take things in hand after dinner tonight and organize the kids to do dishes and then sit down afterward. And at least just before you go to bed, just have a time. I didn't mean to tell you this tonight, but when I was a young man, I dated, and my parents would always encourage me, you know, bring a girl home first and have her sit in our family devotions. And they were faithful to have devotions every night, and they would kind of sometimes sort of gauge that girl's spiritual temperature by the way that she participated in the family devotions. Not exactly fair, really, but it was neat. And so I'd bring the girl home, and she would sit there, and then my little brothers would be over there on the couch with feet in their pajamas and looking cherubic like they really weren't ever. And my parents would teach them scriptures, and they would quote their scripture for the night. They would have the scripture memory. They would go over that scripture memory. And then we would pray around in a circle. And we would invite that girl to pray with us in the circle. I remember, I'm so grateful for my parents. The older I get, the more I realize how devoted they really have tried to be, you know. And I don't want to discourage you tonight. It's unusual for families to be so consistent. I would just say, stumble forward, fall forward, you know, when you're going to goof, you're going to miss nights, and understand that's what we do, to be frank with you. But we regularly have a place where we gather everybody in, turn everything off, and at least before we go to bed at night, we say, you know, an example of this was just in our home. Our hearts were really burdened when we heard about Paul Cody Jr. That just seems so painful, and you know, and I imagine the pain the parents were going through, and sisters and brothers or sisters listening to hearing about that. And so we gathered all the family together, and we stopped, and we just went around the room thanking God for him, for our nation, and asking for prayer for him. And certainly there are enough heartaches in the world that ought to motivate us to turn the television off and gather in our homes and talk to the Lord. Amen. That's true. And so have tender times of worship. Number two, the others won't be this long. Number two, single-minded determination to serve the Lord should be evident in your home. Make your determination to serve the Lord evident in your home. Here's, if you want a single text for tonight, it is Joshua 24:15. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers serve on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Just determine that you will serve the Lord. Make up your mind, mom and dad, that's just what your house is going to be about. We're going to serve the Lord. I don't care what kind of hard knocks we have, how many times we goof or fail, or how difficult things are. In the morning, we're going to get ourselves up again. We're going to dust ourselves off, and we're going to go about serving the Lord again. This is what we're going to be about by God's grace, with God's help. We'll humble ourselves again and say, this home is a godly home. We will serve the Lord. Have determined to do that by God's grace and with his help. The house divided against itself will not stand. Jesus has to be the king of your home. Single-minded determination. Display that. So have tender times of worship I believe there's merit in the Bible. There's some example in the Bible of actually doing things in your home that are symbolic of that. Certainly that's true in the Old Testament, and it says so there in Deuteronomy 6, many other places. You shall bind them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Or ladies, you know, often with creativity, sometimes men too, with calligraphy or crafts or things you can buy. You know, you should be able to go into a home, a Christian home, and you should be able to look around and say, this home is a Christian home. This home You should be able to go in every kid's bedroom and look on the wall and say, this kid's just wired different than the average kid. This kid has different heroes. This young girl, she's not your average young girl, you know. You should be able to go in a boy's room and you shouldn't see central pictures on the wall. You should see heroic things. You should see things that stir a guy's up heart up about, like nature, the things of the Lord. I remember that my oldest boy was really taken with Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan was a pretty good hero, as heroes go, decent guy, and incredibly gifted athlete. And it was Michael Jordan this and Michael Jordan that, and the room had Michael Jordan Avenue and Michael Jordan pictures and all that. And that was kind of grieved me. I sort of, you know, I don't want to get all mean about it, but I was sort of thinking, boy, I'd be glad when I'd sure like to see. I remember one day he'd gone off to the meeting, and he'd kind of had his heart stirred about the things of the Lord, and I came home and he was putting all that stuff away. He's like winding up the poster. I'm going, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm just, this doesn't mean as much to me anymore. And he's putting it away, and maybe I'm wrong in saying it like this, but I kind of reminded me of the passage where Paul said, I became a man, I put away childish things. It's almost like he's stepping it up, you know, and to see that he has a greater heroes. I hope I haven't caused you to stumble here telling you that little story. What I'm trying to say is that in a Christian home, there's biblical precedent for putting things in your home that say to you every day, this home is consecrated to Jesus Christ. So the stuff that we see laying around, you know, ought to be things that please the Lord and things that will stimulate good things. Your bookshelf ought to be a bookshelf just full of good things that where you can walk over there, your children walk over there. How many times have you read a Christian biography and the person told about how they came to know the Lord? I can think of a couple of occasions of, I believe it was Adoniram Judson, I have to go back and check on that, who was converted when he was going through his father's library and he stumbled across. You read Spurgeon was in his grandfather's library. He's up in his grandfather's library in the attic. Spurgeon, when he was a little guy, cut his teeth on the Puritans in his grandfather's attic, and there wasn't that much light because they had in England then they had a tax on how many windows you had, so they had only a few windows. And so can you imagine the little Charles Spurgeon getting his heart prepared to be converted by reading the Puritans as a little boy? You wonder how he had such power with God. But those things, Grandpa had to have those things laying around. That's the kind of stuff that Grandpa had laying around. So if your kids or your grandkids go sorting around through your stuff, what will they find? Well, it should demonstrate single-minded devotion. 3, fill your home with gracious words. This is a big deal. Gracious words. 1, have tender times of worship in your home. 2, display single-minded determination to serve the Lord. That should be evident in your home. 3, fill your home with gracious words. Be careful how you talk in your home. Now, the Bible says this all over the place. Colossians 3 and verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy language out of your mouth. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what a Christian home ought to sound like. People are talking about the things of the Lord. People are discussing the things of the Lord. They love the things of the Lord. That's the way they talk. It's what it says in Colossians 4 and verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you say, you know, Pastor, that's not what my home is like. Well, repent, you know, repent. And repent. It's a sweet thing to repent. I do it myself all the time. Just go home and say, I'm sorry, Lord, and help me, Lord. And gather your family. Don't badger them. Never, never. You know, don't be angry. Badger them. Lay down the law. Just gently say, this is what God has shown me, that I have failed. And I want to ask you to forgive me. And this is what we're going to do. And zero tolerance for that kind of talk in this home. We're not going to do that. Angry words ruin the atmosphere of a home, no matter how expensive the home is. Ephesians 4:29-33, you're familiar with this. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good, necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you're sealed to the day of redemption. Let bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That should be the way a Christian home is. That should be our desire and our goal in a Christian home. This is a place of gracious speech. This is not a place of double entendre, filthy talk, mean talk, angry talk, wrathful talk. God forbid. Not in the Christian home. Everybody on your block may live that way, but there ought to be a little oasis of peace and kindness and love when Jesus touches a home. That's the kind of home I imagine Jesus would feel very comfortable in. Gossip and evil speech do not please the Lord, and they damage our children and our grandchildren. Gossip and evil speech. Careful now, because you know this, and this is like the okay Baptist respectable sin, right? We don't drink. If we do, we keep it, hush, hush. Nobody's supposed to know. We don't smoke. We don't dance unless we have a, occasion there. But we don't mind a little prayer request sharing from time to time, right? I mean, after all, folks need to be prayed for. And we wonder why our kids sometimes they've kind of had enough. They heard all that stuff. This is what the Bible says in Titus 3 and verse 3. And think about this. It says, speak evil of no one. How are you doing on that? Speak evil of no one. How are you doing on that? Christian home doesn't have drunken parties. A Christian home doesn't have lewd behavior. A Christian home doesn't tolerate blasphemy. A Christian home doesn't speak evil of others. See? Not a Christian home. That's backbiters, the Bible calls it. Backbiters. You talk behind somebody's back. Hey, that people get hurt that way. Let's ask God to help us. Because this is easier to do than those other sins of the flesh. Because, they would, if you got drunk and we found out about it, it'd be kind of a scandal. But the other thing, you understand, fill your home with gracious words. So here we go. Here's a rewind. Have tender times of worship. Have single-minded determination to serve the Lord. Fill your home with gracious words. 4, read, watch, and listen to things that Jesus would enjoy. I mean, if Jesus is going to come and visit your home, make sure that he gets the remote control, not you, right? I mean, just give it to him. Right? I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Philippians 4:8. I don't know how you really beat this when you're trying to filter your media. And I know Baptist pastors get a black eye for talking about this all the time. It's just true today as it was when I was a kid. So here I go. Philippians 4:8. Now you read this and you tell me. Don't call me a legalist because I'm not a legalist. But listen to this. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now tell me, I know me. I'm not a legalist, but if I fail in my media and I allow something to go through the filter of my media that doesn't match up with verse 8, I go to bed with a defiled conscience. I'm not right with God. I haven't been a protector over my family. I haven't been true to my Lord. I haven't fought off competing affections. I can't live an effective Christian life and just uncritically allow the world to pump its poison into my mind. I don't understand how else to think about that in your home now. Read, watch, listen to things that Jesus would enjoy. Think about the law of God. And this is given in the Mosaic Law. It's written in the Old Testament. It's repeated in the New Testament. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This is one of God's top 10, right? Shall not take the third commandment. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And I'll just tell you, this is a personal thing. I'm going to tell you a personal idea, and you can just take it or leave it, come up with your own stuff. It's not a law. We don't dictate laws from here. That's not appropriate. We don't need that. We have the Holy Spirit working within us. But I do reserve the right as a pastor to kind of stimulate your pure minds by way of remembrance and help and stir up. And this is what we try to do in our home. And that is, if somebody suggests a television program or a video or something, and we look online and kind of plugged in online or some places like that, and we just look down and it will tell if they're taking in the Lord's name in vain. And we just say, if they're taking the Lord's name in vain, we're just not going to watch that. Because after all, would Jesus, is that a good way to make Jesus feel at home and comfortable in your home, or if there's scenes that you have to fast forward because it's, you know, you think about that. Just you do as the Lord directs you in your heart, but I wanted to say that tonight. And because if you want your home to be a little slice of heaven on earth, there's not going to be any blasphemy in heaven. It's not going to be glorifying adultery in heaven. Not in God's heaven. No. It's not. Even if Pastor Discerns is the only guy saying amen, this is true. That was you, wasn't it? You're a good man, Pastor. Stay with me here on this. All right. I know you agree. I know your heart agrees with this. Number five, cleanse your home of any evil influence. This is kind of related to number four, but cleanse your home of any defiling influence. By the way, let me back up. You know, kids, can I ask you, young people, do what I do from time to time and go through your iPod and just say, just go through, you know, you can put thousands of things on your iPod, and I have thousands of things. Go through there and say what's good and what's not so good and what's really not consistent. You know very well, because there's this glut of media, that a lot of times it's just really easy to get something, a song that we like the sound of it, and we kind of wink or blink, or we kind of, yeah, well, you know, I know this is talking about that and that's not right and all that, but I like the sound of it, so I'm going to leave it on. Careful now, because what you feed on and what you think about, it is going to influence who you are. I'm not going to give you a rule about every kind. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing between you and Jesus, not your mama, not your dad, not your pastor, not your youth pastor, just you and the Lord, to take your iPod, get alone with the Lord, and say, how about this one, Lord? Does that please you? No? Okay, it's out of here. And then when you clean that thing up and then just say, when I put those earbuds in, all it does, I got people preaching to me, I got singing that honors the Lord, I have songs that are, you know, true songs, whether they're secular and honoring to the Lord, there's nothing wrong with them, you know, that I have a clear conscience about that. I challenge you in your home, cleanse your home of any defiling influence, you know, sweep it out like the Bible says. And can I just say this, and we'll talk about this another time. We don't have time to talk about it tonight, and I want to develop something, but I would just say, here is a pastoral suggestion for Evangel Baptist Church, and I'm on good footing to say this. Don't have alcohol in your home at all. Just decide not to have it in there at all. Don't put alcohol in your home. Cleanse that out. Take it out. And if you want to talk more about that, ask me, and I'll give you some specific detail. And sometimes we'll talk more specifically about that alcohol issue, you know, the whole question about what does the Bible teach about alcohol? What does the Bible allow? And what are those issues? There's a lot of nonsense going around about that in our time, which I really feel can be very damaging and very dangerous. And there's some good people who are saying things that I think are going to have bad fruit. And so we'll talk about that. But I'm just saying, this is a pastoral suggestion, you know, and this is kind of based on that we have covenanted together here in our church, haven't we, not to drink alcohol. Am I right? Right? That's what we said we'd do that. I said, that's all right to do that. It's all right for a group of Christian people to come together and say, this is how we understand that. And you know, that's been a good thing over the years. That's been a good thing. And I thank God for that. I have enough temptations. I have enough problems. You know, I'm glad that isn't one of them. And that's just because my parents, it was just no way. It was a vow and we made as a family, and it was just not a question. And we'll talk about that another time. But cleanse your home of anything that's questionable or unclean, anything that your heart isn't clear. Whatever is not of faith is sin. If your heart isn't clear about it, just cleanse it out of there. And I'll just tell you, with me and Lois, over the years, we've had to just do this over and over again. You know, you don't just do it one time and you have it over with. You know, things creep in. We live in an ugly world. Things just creep in. I'm like, wait, why did I allow that? You know, wow, that was a great fly fishing movie. Boy, had beautiful scenes in it. And they take the Lord's name in vain over and over again, and I said that's okay, and then somebody else comes in over here, and I'm giving them counsel, and I'm a hypocrite, and then I have to go home and say, well, I guess I'm gonna get rid of that movie. You see what I'm saying? This isn't like legalism. This is just trying to be a tender-hearted Christian that wants to please the Lord in our home. You know what I'm saying? This number six. I'm on number six. Oh, by the way, back on number five, cleansing your home of any defiling influence. Cleanse your home of any unclean thing, any questionable thing. If you got something that's bad or questionable, Satan knows where it is, and he'll show your kids where to find it. You're hiding something, you know? How many times in pastoral counseling you hear, you know, the dad's like, I don't know how he found that thing. I mean, I thought I had it hidden away. Well, the devil knew where it was, and he showed him. And we're laughing, but some of those stories are not happy stories at all. You have some secret sin. Take care of it. Make it right. right away, quick, tonight. Number six, listen to his words. If you want Jesus to be comfortable in your home, well, listen to him. Like, remember the children, when a visitor comes and he's honored, everybody listens. Well, when Jesus talks, listen. So when does Jesus talk in your home? Is his word read in your home? Are his praises sung in your home? Does he ever get a word in edgewise in your home? Are you listening? Remember what he said to his disciples that they were the 70? He went over whoever will not receive you or hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake the dust off your feet. It's almost like Jesus says, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to have some things to say. If you want to hear them, then I will talk. But if you don't want to hear them, I'll just shake the dust off my feet. And I'll go away. Do you want that? Do you want to grieve the Lord away from your home and his word? No way. No way. If Jesus has something to tell me, I want to hear it. I'll say, if he's speaking, I'm listening. I'm listening. And a prophet Moody say, that's Frodo ears. But you probably don't get that. Mary was sitting at his feet and honoring him by her attention. And number seven, talk to him. Listen to him, number six. Talk to him often in your home. Thank him. Praise him. Petition him. Stop in the middle of something and just thank him. When the tree buds outside, gather the kids around and tell them Jesus did that. Look at that. Isn't he wonderful? When the siren goes by, somebody's in bad shape. Stop. When the neighbors do something foolish, don't make fun of them. Don't mock them. Let your heart be broken for them. Put them on your prayer list. Care about him and love him. Talk to Jesus. Take him. When I was preparing this, the hymn came to my mind. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does its successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore till suns shall wax and wane, rise and set no more. And here's the verse that came to my heart. To him shall endless prayer be made. And praise his throng to crown his head. His name, like sweet perfume, shall rise with every morning sacrifice. Oh God, I'm sorry that in my home that hasn't happened as often as you deserve for that to happen. Jesus, to you shall endless prayer be made, and endless praises crown your head. Your name, like sweet perfume, shall rise with every morning sacrifice. How often does Jesus hear his name rising like perfume from the walls of within your home? And you may live alone. You can gather. You can sit in the morning and you can send prayers heavenward to God. I love the study that I've been allowed to use here. It has that outer and it has that inner study. And when I go to that end of the inner one there, I feel like I can sing and I can pray and I can praise him. And I'm so grateful. Thank you for letting me use that. And I love to go in there and meet with the Lord. And I was just this morning as worshiping the Lord today, this morning, and thinking, wow, this is a nice place to worship. Everybody ought to have a place. A little park, place in the park where you go, a corner of your house, Jesus said, a closet, a car, a cab of a truck, and you talk to Jesus. And you have burdens, you talk to Jesus about them. You have something that's happy, you tell Jesus about it. When you don't know what you're doing, you ask Jesus about it. It's that simple. People in realms of every tongue dwell in his love in sweetest song, and infant voices still proclaim their early blessings on his name. Let every creature rise and bring honors peculiar for a king. Angels descend with songs again, and earth prolong the loud amen. You know that's right. You know that's right. Number eight, live in harmonious love together in your home. Pursue peace with all men. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I know it's hard. I know there's fussing in your home. I know that. You're in the flesh. You fail. You sin. I know that. But don't ever stop asking God to help you have a peaceful, harmonious home. Dad, if you have roughed up your kids, and go back and make it right. Mom, if you've, like our sister said tonight, if you discipline in anger, then you be so regular about making it right that your kids are expecting it from you. That's wonderful. It's better not to, of course, but if we fail, live in harmonious love together. Do you remember, there's another place, if a son of peace If a son of peace lives there, that's how we're to be described, peaceful people. All right, number 9, be quick to confess and make restitution in your home. Now, Zacchaeus was under conviction, and the Lord said, I'm coming to your house today. And Zacchaeus confessed his sin. He made restitution. That's got to happen for a Christian home to be Christian. You got, because you're going to do wrong, you got to regularly ask forgiveness. You say, you know, those scriptures say there in Ephesians, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And you may have somebody in your home go to bed mad at you, but you don't let yourself go to bed mad at them. If at all possible, you try to reconcile with them before you go to bed. But when you put your head on the pillow at night, don't do it until you know that your heart is clear and you are in love with that person. Otherwise, that will eat away at your soul, and that will destroy your home, and that will alienate your kids, and that will ruin your witness, and that will grieve the Holy Spirit. This is something our men here at Evangel need to get through our thick skulls. Amen, guys? That God would make the men of Evangel just meek, spirited, sweet-spirited, godly men who have that, God, give me grace to overcome that anger. Let my children see it before I die. That God was at work in my life. That I had a tender hand and a tender touch and a kindness about me. And, you know, and I'm in process on this myself because I know I exhibit frustration in my kids a lot. And I can tell it's almost like they flinch, like, Dad's frustrated. He's not angry because he's a pastor, you know, but he's frustrated. You know? You're not going to hit me, but by the time he's done preaching, I'll wish he beat me with a board. You know, I know that sometimes, I know this is a work that I would ask the Lord to do in my own heart to take me deeper in that way. And I confess that publicly. And I ask the men, you men that are gathered here tonight, join with me in pursuing God in this way. That because we're Bible-believing men and that we believe something and that we're sound in faith and doctrine, that doesn't make us, you know, pugilistic, mean-spirited, ugly, trying to beat our kids and our wives into submission or, you know, God forbid, you know, just kind of manipulate them into submission, but that by an example of grace and kindness and sacrifice and determination and giving, I don't mean a man is supposed to be effeminate about this, God forbid. But that there is a meekness that a man can have, that he's a strong man of great conviction, and yet he is confident in the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, and the means of grace. And that is what he's depending on, and he knows the wrath of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. I hope I'm not angry in the way I'm saying this to you. You don't want to be browbeat from the pulpit, and you don't want your dad to browbeat you, or you, and this is true with girls, too. You don't want to, ooh, none of us like girls getting mad at us. Amen? Amen? You're afraid to say it? My goodness. All right, well, and then I'm on number 10. Number 10. Welcome the servants of the Lord into your home. There's the promise attached to this in Matthew chapter 10. And here I'm talking about, you know, missionaries and a service of the Lord. Some of you have these beautiful stories to tell me about how you've done that. We were in a parishioner's home the other night, beautiful evening, and they had a book. And over the years, they've invited missionaries into their home, and in the book they've recorded, they have the prayer cards, and they've had revivalists and missionaries, and they said, our kids love the Lord, and they found the Lord again. They knew these people, and they love these people. And for some of you are gifted that way, and others of you, your gifts are different. It's like maybe, hey, meet me at the restaurant. You know, I understand. People are different. But welcome the servants of God. Show hospitality to the servants of God. Here's why. Because if you got some heavy-hitting, you know, evangelist missionary, and he's being rewarded by God, she's being rewarded by God for her labors for the Lord, you can get in on her reward this way. Is that cool? I mean, I think this is one of the best-kept secrets in the Bible. You don't have to go to Africa to get the same reward that the lady who went to Africa got. All you have to do is give her a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 10. That is a really good deal. Have you ever noticed that? That's a great deal. I'll discipline myself because I want to tell you a story right now. Ask me later. And then number 11. Welcome. Ask me the story about what happened when the missionary went home with the wrong person. Or just keep coming back. I'll say it sometime. Number 11 is this, is welcome the poor into your home. Luke 14, 21 through 23. Jesus was saying, go out and just ask anybody to come in, you know. Welcome the poor. You notice that? You ever notice how you think, oh, if this person came to my home, if that person came to my home. But you know there are people out there that they don't go to anybody's home. They literally are watching their food budget so close that if they got asked over to your house for a meal, they would breathe a sigh of relief because that would be one less meal that they would have to buy. And things are so tight for them, it would be a blessing for you. This is one of the good things, and I say this with great care because all of us are kind of feeling, the difficulty of hard times. But one thing about hard times is it really does open the door for us to show loving, gracious hospitality to people. And think about somebody out there that would really appreciate going over to your house for dinner or over to your house after church on Sunday. You know, we had some people in our church when I was a boy, and we didn't have much there, and I know this family didn't. Their name was Bartlett, and they said, come on over to our house tonight. We have extra popcorn and water. They did. Then they popped popcorn. I mean, that's as cheap as all get out, right? And they popped popcorn, and they passed around cold glasses of water, and I remember that being really fun. And I remember that being a wonderful time of fellowship. Later on, they got into some money, and they had watermelon. And so it was great. Some have entertained angels without being aware of it. And that's why it says in Hebrews, don't forget to entertain strangers. You never know what you're getting yourself into. Isn't that cool? So what is the purpose of a home? It's not for selfish indulgence or to display the things that you've hoarded. It's not an entertainment center. It is a place of rest. Yes, it is, but it's a discipleship center. It's a ministry center. It's a worship center. My mother used to read this poem when I was a boy, and she never could get through it without crying, but I can. I want to read it to you. She had it in the form of a little tract. I'll read it to you. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know, you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve him would be the very best, and you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your own home's a joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched and welcome your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they'd been? And would you turn off the radio and hope he hadn't heard and wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? By the way, this is almost always where my mother cried because I bothered her so much that every once in a while I would coax a loud, hasty word out of her. So now it's all out here. Poor thing. And on Mother's Day, after all, that last loud, hasty word. Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in, or would you rush about? And I wonder if the Savior spent a day or two with you. Would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? Would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read and let him know the things upon which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you plan to go? Or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends, or would you hope they'd stay away until the visit ends? And would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on, or would you sigh with great relief when at last he was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus in person came to spend some time with you. Is your home what it ought to be? Would Jesus be at home in your home? Are you eager to have Jesus as a guest or as a permanent resident in your home? Would you be willing to go home tonight and just make things right for Jesus to come and visit you? Jesus is the head of this house. He's the unseen guest at every meal. He's a silent listener to every conversation. Pastor, would you have a song to close our service?